Well, let me say once again, appreciate your prayers last week for me as I was severely ill. It's not something that I would wish on my worst enemy, what I had. But it's something that I get from time to time. Thankfully, I'd been 3 years without an attack and had two in the same week, difficult to go through, physically speaking. And so I appreciate your prayers and glad to be back with you today and back to in our series in the Gospel of John, and we're in John chapter number 14. John chapter 14, we began looking last time that we were in this book at John 14:1, and we saw Jesus and troubled hearts. And specifically, we looked at the troubled hearts of Jesus' disciples and the various reasons why their hearts were troubled. And we saw multiple reasons, and we also talked about the reasons why we might have a troubled heart. There's a lot of troubled hearts in this day and time, aren't they? A lot of folks are concerned about what's happening in our nation and in this world and what's happening with regard to the pandemic and all the collapse of our system that we see going on. And there seems to be reasons to have our hearts troubled, but if we believe God and believe Jesus, that can be a remedy for that troubled heart. We saw the cure, the remedy for troubled hearts is to believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said that I reserve the right to come back and look at this a little more. And that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to be in verse number 1. And let me just read the verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Can we believe God? Can we believe Jesus? This is important because Jesus said that belief in God and Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the remedy for troubled hearts. So, how is your faith this morning? How is your faith in God? How is your faith in the Lord? In these final days that we're living in, these end times, we need to have a strong faith, and a strong faith is only going to come by the Word of God. And if you're not in the book, and you're not sitting under the preaching and teaching of the book, I can tell you, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems with your faith. And the Word of God is what builds our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this morning, I want to begin by just coming to an understanding of the definition of the term believe that Jesus uses here in John 14:1. The word that is translated believe but here in both of these places in this verse means not only believe but trust or put faith in. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about trusting God. We're talking about putting our faith in God. Talking about trusting Jesus, putting our faith in Jesus. Now, when we think about the matter of believing, trusting, or putting faith in someone, that comes from a confidence, number one, in their person. A confidence in their person. I'm talking about their character. What is the character of the one that you are trying to believe? You know, sometimes we're asked to believe somebody's words that we know. And it goes to their character. Are they believable? Or do you know that they have a record of believability? Well, that's the same thing that when we talk about believing on God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the person known to be truthful and trustworthy? Does the person have a record of believability? We know in this world that some people are long on promises and short on delivery, right? We get disappointed in this life. But listen, God and the Lord Jesus Christ will never, ever fail to do what they say they do. Amen. They just won't. Belief, trust, or putting faith in someone also comes from a confidence in their power. Not only their person, but their power. What do you mean power, preacher? I'm talking about their ability. You know, some people, they make promises that they're going to do something. They have good intentions, good ideas, but they don't have the power to carry it through. That's not the case with God. Is the person able to do what they say? do they have the necessary power to back up their talk? Now, we might could look at other things that give us confidence, but these two are especially important. Person and power of who we're talking about, okay? So let's apply this, first of all, to the person of God. The person of God. Now, let's understand, the bigger the person, the more that we would expect them to have a record of doing powerful and otherwise unbelievable things. Am I right? I mean, that's true. There's none bigger than God. None. And so, from what we know of God, can we have confidence in His person? We most certainly can. Is God known to be truthful? Does God have a record of believability? Well, He most certainly does. The Bible is full of the record of God, and it's believable. All of it's believable. Even the unbelievable portions are believable because of who we're talking about. We're talking about God who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He is able to do what He says He's going to do. All the way back to the beginning of things, in God's dealing with mankind, God has proven to be truthful. We know in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 2 and verse 15 through 17, when God put man in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it, and the Lord commanded him and said, you know, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, did God follow through on His word? He did. Yeah, He did. Man died. They chose to believe Satan. Satan said, hey, God's holding out on you. If you eat, God knows this, and He ain't going to let you in on that. And they ate, believing Satan rather than believing God, and it didn't go well for them. In Moses' day, the prophet Balaam, even though he was a prophet for hire, nevertheless, he was still a prophet, and he told Balak, the king that was trying to get him to curse Israel, and God said, you're not going to curse Israel. I'm not going to let you curse Israel, and you better not curse Israel. And so he told Balak these words in Numbers 23:19. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, he was pointing to the veracity, the truthfulness of God. What God says He will do, He will do. And God's dealings with His people through Joshua's day. In Joshua 21, verse 45, Joshua told the people there, he said, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. What's all? All means all, and that's all that all means. I mean, you know, it all came to pass. What God said was going to come to pass, it did. And He reminded them again just before He passed off the scene in Joshua 23:14. He said, you know, I'm fixing to be out of here, guys. He said, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua 23:14. Well, what about further on down the road? Let's go to Solomon's day and God's dealings with His people all the way even through Solomon's day. Solomon had this to say at the dedication of the temple. He said in 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His promise which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. Nobody could take and point, well, God said this, but He didn't do it. Nobody could do that. And listen, you can't either. What God has said He's going to do, He's going to do. And if He said He's going to bring something to pass and it hadn't come to pass yet, just wait. It's going to. Yeah? It's going to. Paul's acknowledgement in his day, 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. What does that mean? That means you can count on Him. What God says, what God's promised, it's true. All of it's true. He also told the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 24, He says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." So, God's faithful. So, in what we know of God's person, is He truthful and trustworthy? Does He have a record of believability? Yes. Yes, He does. And I challenge you to prove otherwise, because you can't. Secondly, from what we know of God, can we have confidence in His power? Can we have confidence in God's power? Is God known to be powerful? Does God have the ability to do what He says He will do? Does God have a record of doing powerful and otherwise unbelievable things? Yes, He does. He does, indeed. All the way back to the beginning until now, God has proven to be all-powerful. And we use the word omnipotence. That's just a way of saying all-powerful or almighty. He's Almighty God. Amen. Think about in creation. It never ceases to amaze me that God, all God had to do was just speak. And it happened. Does that ever amaze you? And the Lord said, "Let there be." Because that's what He did. Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." In Abraham's day, remember when Sarah laughed, when the Lord was saying, "Hey, you're fixing to have you and Sarah are fixing to have a child," to tell that to Abraham, and Sarah laughed, and here's what the Lord said in Genesis 18, verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son," age 90, him 100. Whew. Yeah, but God did what He said He was going to do, though. Genesis 21. And verse number 1 and 2, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." God gave him time to say, "This is when this is going to happen." When did it happen? Right on time. Right on time. In Moses' day at the Red Sea, remember the Red Sea, as they were fleeing Egypt, they get their backs to the Red Sea, and they thought, "Moses has carried us out here just for us to die. Here comes the Egyptians. What in the world are we going to do?" Well, the Lord opened up the sea, and they went through on dry ground. No mud. Dry ground. The Bible says they went through on dry ground. They all made it through. And then here comes Pharaoh's armies through that same path, thinking they're going to just follow them right on through. What did the Lord do? He brought it back down on them, drowned them. Listen to what it says in Exodus 14:31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. What did God tell them? Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to be delivered. Did He follow through? He did. In a powerful way? You ever seen anybody else part water? No? I mean, enough for 2 million Israelites to go walking through there? No. They were so in awe of the power of the Lord that Moses and the children of Israel sang a song to that effect that's recorded in Exodus 15. I'm not going to read it, but I give it to you. Go read it, and they will tell you, they will talk of the wonder of what God did. In Moses' day also, in the desert wilderness, and here they are out there in the middle of nowhere. You ever been out in the middle of nowhere? I've been there a few times. I think I lived there one time. If you ever lived in a place that you weren't near anything. I call that out in the middle of nowhere. But they weren't near any grocery stores. They weren't near any woods where they could go hunting. God said, the people was crying for meat. "We want some meat. We're tired of eating this manna." The Lord said, I'm going to give them meat to eat. And Moses said, what are we going to do? Slay all the herds that we brought out with us? How in the world are we going to feed all these people meat? The Lord said, you just wait. listen to Numbers 11:23. The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And boy, the Lord had a wind blow in a bunch of quail like you ain't never seen. Blew in so much, and they ate so much quail, they had quail coming out in places that they shouldn't have coming out of. And they got tired of the quail. They learned about complaining about that. I want you to think about King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon after being humbled by the Lord. You know, portion of the scripture came directly from him. It is. It's him talking in Daniel chapter 4. And in Daniel 4, verse 35, here's what he had to say about what the Lord did to him and humbling him and putting him out to pasture like a wild animal. You know, he got raised up with pride and God brought him down. That's what God did. And God had told him beforehand that he was going to do that. And he lifted himself up with pride anyway. And after it all took place and the Lord gave him a good sense back, here's what he had to say about the Lord in Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God will do what he wants to do, and what he says he's going to do, and you can't stop it, and I can't stop it, and nobody else can stop it. Hey, listen, all that's going on in the world right now, the Lord's still coming. They can't stop that. He's still coming. Are you looking for Him? Or are you full of worry over the things that you see? In the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, we see the power of God. Luke 1:35, as the angel Gabriel visits Mary, angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Never heard before that a virgin had a child. But God caused it to happen. I could stand up here and tell story after story recorded in the Word of God of the power of Almighty God. I just touched the surface. Just touch the surface. Get in your Bible and you'll see the mighty power of God. Now let's apply this to the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? Person of Jesus Christ. From what we know of Jesus Christ, can we have confidence in His person? We most certainly can. Is Jesus Christ known to be truthful? Does Jesus Christ have a record of believability? Well, He most certainly does. Now I'm not going to take time to go back to the many pre-incarnate manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ that are in the Old Testament. He's there too, okay? He's the angel of the Lord. Those are pre-incarnate manifestations of Jesus Christ, are what they are. And he, as the angel of the Lord, he always spoke truth. And what he spoke came to pass. But there are other places that we can point to. In our studies here in John's Gospel, we saw that we have the words of the Apostle John. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. John 1:17-18, he's also said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We also have the testimony, the words from Jesus regarding the testimony of John the Baptist. In John chapter number 5, verse number 31-33, John the Baptist said this about Jesus. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness that which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bear witness unto me. I think I had my words wrong there. We have the words from Jesus regarding John the Baptist's testimony there. It's what it should have said if I didn't say that. But that's Jesus saying, hey, John bear witness unto me. And then we have the testimony from John the Baptist. John 1, verse 29 to 34. I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture there, but it's a situation where John was giving what he was told to look for to know that the Messiah had come. And he said, the one that you baptize, who you see the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove on him, same is the one who is he is the Messiah. He's the one from above. And he said, I knew him not, but he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist bore testimony. John 3, verse 33 through 36. John the Baptist also said, He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son and hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We have the words of Jesus regarding himself. In John 8, verse 45 and 46. He says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? And in John 14:6, which we have yet to get to, understand we'll be there in a few weeks, in John 14:6, but Jesus says there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Know that Jesus Christ spoke the truth. He was known to be truthful, and he had a record of believability. That's what the whole book of Acts is based upon. The testimony of Jesus and him fulfilling the testimony that he came and gave. You look at the preaching in the book of Acts, you'll find that. So we can have confidence in Jesus' person. Now, from what we know of Jesus Christ, can we have confidence in his power? Is Jesus Christ known to be powerful? Does Jesus Christ have the ability to do and say what he will do? Do what he says he's going to do. As God, does Jesus Christ have a record of doing powerful and otherwise unbelievable things? Well, we need not point any further than just all of Jesus' mighty miracles. I mean, a whole slew of miracles in the Gospels. And Jesus performed miracles some people think that he performed those miracles as an example to us that we would go out and do the same thing. That's not what he gave. John tells us why those were written. In John 20 and verse 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, here it is, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But I want you to listen. The greatest proof of Jesus Christ's power and his truthfulness both was when he gave up his life for us and took it back up again, just like he said he would do. Amen. He said, I'll lay it down, I'll take it back up again. That is the evidence of Jesus Christ's power that we have, but the apostles did not have at that time, they didn't have Jesus already being out of the grave. They're fixing to see him after he came out of the grave. They were eyewitnesses to all the other miracles of Christ. And here in John 14:1, Jesus is calling on his apostles. He said, believe also in me. Did they know that Jesus could raise people from the dead? Certainly they did. Jesus had raised more than one person. Even the man that had been dead 4 days in the grave, 4 days, raised him from the grave. But listen to what Jesus told a crowd that he would do according to this chapter of praying prior to Lazarus. Lazarus is found in John 11. This is what Jesus said in John 10. John 10, 17 and 18 said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now that is power. That raised the powerful, and both the powerful and unbelievable level. We call it out the kazoo, right? It just elevated it so much. For somebody to say, "I'm going to lay my life down and I'm going to take it back up again," and then to follow through on it. Unbelievable. With men, but not with God. That's why Paul said what he said in Romans 1:4. It says that Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He declared to be the Son of God. That was something that the apostles and others in the book of Acts were so convinced of that they were willing to give their lives to preach and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. What convinced them? They personally saw the resurrected Christ. Big change between before seeing Christ resurrected and after seeing Christ resurrected. The difference was Jesus. And the fact of the believability shot through the roof, and the power of Christ shot through the roof there. Now, here's what we need to see here as we wrap this verse and this message up. Jesus is saying to His apostles and to us, "Let not your heart be troubled." They were most troubled by what Christ had told them relating to what was about to happen to Him. The apostles had enough already to not only believe in God, but also to believe in Christ. Jesus had told them that He was going to be arrested, crucified, buried, but He wasn't going to stay dead. Were they going to believe in God who said in His Word that this was going to happen? See, this was prophesied. And this had to happen. It had to happen. For our salvation, it had to happen. Were they going to believe God? And were they going to believe in Christ who promised them that this would not be the end? That's not the end. They're going to crucify me on the cross. But listen, I'm getting up out of that grave. He promised them that He would live again. Now listen, if God's Word can be believed, and it can be, and if God has all power to be able to do anything, and He does, then He is worthy by believing Him and trusting Him. Amen? He is. And if Jesus Christ can be believed and trusted, and He can be also, and if He is given all power, He's been given all power by His Heavenly Father, and He has, according to Matthew 28, verse 18, then He is worthy of our believing Him or trusting Him. We can trust God in Jesus Christ to do what they said they will do. They will do their part. They have the truthfulness and the power to fulfill it all. Our part is to let not your heart be troubled, believing God. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? See, some of it, we'll say that, but then we act as if we don't believe it. If you say you believe it, show it through your life. Amen? Show that you believe it. Have you never come to the point in your life where you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Let me warn you. God's going to do what He says He's going to do. He's going to come back. And when He comes back, He's going to bring forth in this world a tribulation such as never been seen. You think things are bad now? You don't want to be here during the tribulation period. I can assure you. But it's coming. You take God's word at it. It's in the book. And if you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you leave this world apart from faith in Him for your salvation, Him and Him alone, what's going to happen? Lake of fire. So, well, that's not very pleasing, no, but it's the truth. It's what the book says. Come to Jesus today. If you haven't received Him, believe on Him today. And if you have believed on Him, believe on Him. Amen? Get in the book. Find out what's happening. You know, when you go, a lot of you turning on the news to find out what's happening in the world. You need to be turning in your Bible to find out what's happening in the world. You have a lot more peace when you turn to the Bible and find out what's happening in the world than you turn on the news. Because that's a lot of it's fake news. It's just trying to stir you up and trying to tear your faith down. And God wants to build your faith up, but He can't build it up unless you're in the book. Let's get in the book. Let's pray. Father, we ask You today to take the message to the hearts. Lord, we thank You for the fact that we can believe You, and we can believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both of You have the believability, and both of You have the power to carry it through on Your Word. And for that, we're thankful. And Lord, we are hopeful. And in fact, our hope is secured. And we are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we can have comfort even in the midst of trouble. Even in this world full of tribulation and trials, we can have peace because our peace comes from Christ. Lord, have Your way in this invitation today. If there's somebody that needs to get saved, help them to come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.